So our first storyteller comes to us from a previous audience. He came to the show, thought this theme was particularly something that he could talk about, and we're thrilled to have him, and we are especially thrilled, Kay, to have your in-laws. Where are Kay's in-laws in this audience? Yes, our most persistent audience members, we think, maybe ever to date. They started sending me emails that they were sure that the following story would make Kay famous and that somehow they needed tickets just the very second the show sold out. So thank you all so much for coming and for being here, and Kay, for sharing your story.
So when I first heard that the theme of the story was going to be fear, I immediately thought of the 20 years that I spent as a Jehovah's Witness and how much fear was a part of that. Because in addition to the usual guilt, fear was also used to kind of guide the flock, if you will. Some ways it was kind of small and mundane, but others had a more meaningful impact on my life. I'll give you a few examples. When I started studying, I was told very early on that I needed to be very aware of Smurfs. Now, I don't know how many of you remember Smurfs. They're these cartoon characters from the late 70s, early 80s. I kind of liked them because they were people of color. They were blue. And so, to most people, they were just, you know, cartoon characters. But to Jehovah's Witnesses, they were little blue demons. And I remember in every congregation I went to, I would hear some variation of this story about a little girl whose parents had bought her a Smurf doll, and she had taken it into the meeting on Sunday. And when the minister got up to start talking, suddenly this little Smurf doll came alive and started screaming obscenities and blasphemies to the Lord, and then went running out of the building. And everyone believed that story and said, you know, whatever you do, avoid Smurfs at all cost. Which I didn't have an interest in Smurfs at the time, so it was easy for me to do. And I just continued with my studying and trying to learn more about this religion. Well, then after a while, everyone said to me, well, you know, you need to now look at cutting off all of your non-Jehovah Witness friends, who were affectionately referred to as worldly people. And I was like, well, you know why? I mean, these are good people. I've known them for a long time. And they said, well, they might seem like good people, but because they're not Jehovah's Witnesses, you know, God's going to destroy them, and they're tools of the devil, and their whole goal in life is to get drunk and use drugs and have sex with random people, to which I thought, okay, that's why I like them. That's why they're my friends. But at the same time, I was trying to change my life, and, you know, I wanted to be a part of this community, so I, you know, cut off all of my friends. Didn't have anything to do with them after that, and continued my studying and doing what I needed to do. Well, I had a scholarship to go to college, and so I was really excited to go. I was looking forward to it. And then my Bible study teacher and everyone said, well, no, you cannot go to college. And I was like, well, why? I mean, it's, you know, higher education, what's wrong with that? Well, one, you'll be surrounded by people who are getting drunk, using drugs, and having sex with random people, to which I thought, you know, I'm sure they're so focused on their academic career. How can they even have time for any of that stuff? It makes no sense to me. But the biggest fear was that if I went to college, that I would be overcome by what they called the philosophies of men. So it would, like, weaken my faith in God, and next thing you know, I'd be, you know, trying to figure out for myself what was right and what was wrong, which is what the devil did and what Adam and Eve did, and that's why they ate the fruit. So you just cannot go to college. So, you know, I thought about that. I was like, it doesn't really make sense to me. But again, I have this fear that if I don't do that, then I'm not going to be a part of this community, and I won't be pleasing to God. So, okay, I won't go to college. And there are many other Jehovah's Witnesses that also are faced with that decision. Well, as I said, I was in this for 20 years, and there was always something that I had to be afraid of. You know, no blood transfusions, you can't grow a beard, you can't watch rated R movies, because all of these things somehow would cause the devil to, you know, enter you, and then God wouldn't approve of you, and just this long list. So after 20 years, I finally started thinking, well, do I really want to be in this group anymore? I'm kind of tired of it. Well, that brought me face to face with really one of the biggest fears you can have as a Jehovah's Witness, and that is of being disfellowshipped. So what that means is whether or not you decide to leave because you just don't want to do it anymore, or you get kicked out for getting drunk, using drugs, having sex with random people, or a whole list of other things. Either way, you are now shunned by the rest of the congregation. They can't even say hello to you. Now, if you remember, you know, you have no other friends except for the Jehovah's Witnesses. It's not uncommon that your family are also Jehovah's Witnesses. So now, in addition to feeling as though you've been cast off by God, you also no longer have the social network to rely on. So, you know, it took me about 3 years of anguish and trying to decide what to do, because that was a huge fear that I was looking at. I just couldn't imagine being kind of cast off and just drifting out there alone by myself. But then finally, after, you know, about 2-3 years and, you know, some counseling, I finally got up the courage to just say, okay, I'm just done with this. And I walked away from the religion. And that was about 6 years ago. And so, you know, all those consequences, of course, came to pass. I was shunned and the whole deal. But, you know, I have to say that this 6 years of my life, this last 6 years, has probably been the best 6 years of my life. One, I'm no longer afraid of worldly people because I am one, so that's cool. I'm no longer afraid of Smurfs. I might even go see that Smurf movie that's coming out this summer. So life is good. And so, you know, it just made me think how often, you know, we have, whether it's politicians or religious leaders or the media, saying we have to be afraid of people or things, you know, certain cultures or races or political ideologies, and how often that's used to kind of shape what we do. And wouldn't it be nice if we could just kind of set those fears to the side and really look to see ourselves if there's really something to be afraid of? Because I'm willing to bet that if we do that, we'll find there isn't. Thank you.